Welcome to the Diamond Mine Transformation Radio Show with your host, Greg Dwyer, on Building Fortunes Radio. Make sure you check out Greg by clicking on the Diamond Mine Transformation Radio Show link on buildingfortunesradio.com. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. You can go to the Diamond Mine Radio Show on Building Fortunes Radio directly by going to www.buildingfortunesradio.com/Greg Dwyer. Greg Dwyer is a successful pastor, business owner, sales trainer, and lifestyle coach. Greg's early passion for magic adds to his effectiveness in training others. Greg has trained and coached thousands of people in his career, and you're in for a treat when you work with Greg. Whether you're taking his NLP training or going on a Diamond Mine Transformation travel tour on another continent, you'll enjoy Greg's effective technique. Check out his website on www.gregdwyer.com. And now on to our show with Greg Dwyer. Take it away, Greg.
Hi, everyone. It's Greg Dwyer. Today is April 5th. For some of you, you're celebrating Palm Sunday. Easter this week. I'm not sure exactly when Passover is, but I wish you all great holidays. Today I have a guest with me. I met her through the library here in Connecticut. She was actually going to be doing a workshop on mindfulness, and I invited her to my television show, but the television show is on hiatus right now simply because of what's going on in the world. Her name is Sheila Clapper. Sheila, thanks for being on the podcast today.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I'm always happy to speak about mindfulness.
So, how did you get involved in this topic yourself?
Well, actually through meditation. So, those words and those practices really overlap and complement each other. So, I began meditating when I was in my early 20s with transcendental meditation when I lived in Brooklyn, New York. And I did that for many years. Somewhere along the line, I became a Kripalu yoga instructor, which is a very mindful way of moving, very meditative. And then about 10 years ago, these practices came to me, just the way sometimes things do. You meet somebody, you go on a retreat, and you learn something new, and it resonated for me in a very deep way. So it's been about 10 years that I'm practicing, and maybe a full year that I'm into a program for a certification through Jack Kornfield and Tara Brach and the Greater Good Science Center. So I'm just learning better ways to teach the technique to other people because I find it very satisfying to play that role.
Well, it seems that today, especially today with what's going on in the world today, you know, people are in a state of fight or flight. They're in a state of anxiety. They're in a state of panic. Not everyone. There's a few people that I have as close friends. They're as calm as a cucumber. But how can mindfulness and how can meditation help people, not only in this time that we're going through right now, but every single day of their life?
Right, so that's a great question because it gets to the core of why we do this. And when I teach, those are the two questions, why and how. So the why is really about the role that our minds and thoughts play in our mental and physical well-being, our sense of ease in the world. So I think it's Mark Twain who said, I'm an old man and I've known a lot of problems, most of which never happened. So we kind of suffer when we live this life in our heads. And what happens is we can't seem to get unstuck. So I always tell people it isn't the thoughts that are the problem, but the stickiness of them. So it's great to have thoughts and be thoughtful and have thoughtful practices. But there are times when it's good to be able to move away from that, to let it go, and to spend some time in the present moment, which is where we come to mindfulness. So in my tradition, which is Vipassana or insight, mindfulness, they're kind of interchangeable. We describe mindfulness as paying attention to the present moment on purpose without judgment. So it's without judgment that kind of gives us a rest so we can stop thinking about everything and be present. So I'd be happy to talk about some of the techniques that we use. if we're satisfied with the why.
Yeah, that's good. I just wanted to interject here. I get into trouble, and I don't think I'm the only one, but I get into trouble, Sheila, when I'm thinking about the past, I'm obsessive about the past, or I'm thinking about the future. And what I love about meditation is it just kind of anchors you. And the other thing I want to say about this is when I started meditating a few years ago, and I'm not as trained as you are, but what I learned through the process is that my thoughts are crazy, that I don't take myself seriously. Like if I call somebody up and says, I'll meet you for a dinner and they don't show up, I could say to myself, oh, they were in a car accident, or they don't like me, or, you know, you start making stuff up. And then when you start meditating, I can only speak for myself, I realize that a lot of the things I think are just completely not true. Am I the only one?
You are not the only one. It's a very large club. And the reason is, what we learn is that that's the nature of our mind. That's the nature of being human. So I've been told by my teachers that the mind creates thoughts the same way that your salivary glands create saliva. It just does. And it's okay that they do that. We are never really looking or expecting the mind to stop creating thoughts. So when we have this idea that we're going to sit and meditate and there won't be any thoughts, I think that people get disappointed then, because the thoughts come along. They just get generated. So the practices are about having a different relationship with that thought stream. So it's like sitting underneath a highway overpass and knowing that there are cars going by, and not feeling like you have to get in one of those cars and drive off, right? So you see the thought, as the minute you notice that it's there, we employ exactly what you said, which is an anchor. And there are all different kinds of anchors that people meditate with. It might be a mantra, a sound. Some people meditate with their eyes open. In the insight or Vipassana tradition, we use a variety of anchors, which are the breath, sensation in the body, or naturally occurring sound that is just happening around us. And we just allow those things to hold our attention, to rest our awareness there. And then, of course, the thoughts you're mentioning, they come up because we just have this stickiness to the past. Somebody, one of my friends actually who does motivational speaking, reminded me that it's okay to look back. We just shouldn't stare. So take a glimpse and then move back into the present. And it's easier said than done. And that's why it's called a practice, because we just need to begin again and begin again. And the more we do it, the better we get at it, the easier it becomes to access. So I spend a good deal of time reading things from neuroscientists these days, things about neuroplasticity, telomeres, which are indicators of brain youth. Judson Brewer is a neuroscientist who reminds us that neurons that fire together wire together, which simply means the more you do it, the more likely you are to do that. So, of course, we see that with our bad habits. That's what makes us addicted to smoking or drinking or shopping or anything. The more we do it, the more we crave it. But conversely, when we're doing something that's helpful, like letting go of the past or getting too involved in planning the future, we learn, our brain learns how to do that more easily. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, absolutely. So talk about the health, before you get into the technique, talk about the health benefits. I've heard stories of Buddhist monks that have meditated for years and how it's not only changed their brain, but it's changed their health.
Yeah. Right. So what we realize is that when our brains are involved in thoughts that then become emotions, so anger, anxiety, fear, doubt, worry, internally, our body produces the chemicals that go along with that, like adrenaline and cortisol, things that it's not that we're making it up, it's that our body and our mind are so entwined. So I often illustrate this with imagining that you're sitting in a room and it's kind of dark and you know you can't get out, and in the corner of your eye you notice a snake. And so a lot of people will kind of get very anxious about that. They don't know if it's poisonous, they don't know what to do, they can't leave. So they will exhibit signs of stress, sweaty palms, maybe a dry mouth. They just get anxious. And then if somebody comes into the room and flips on the light and they see that it was just a rope. So nothing changed about that situation except their thoughts about it. Their thoughts created all of that internal stress. And that happens throughout the day when we see things and interpret it as fearful and stressful. So we live with all of those chemicals coursing through our bodies, and they interfere with our sleep and our digestion and our elimination and our ability to just be present in relationships. They make us moody and uncomfortable because they're stressful. So that's a little bit about how stress impacts our health on a physical level.
Yeah, I can relate. About two Fridays ago, I don't remember the date, but I know it was in March, you know, this whole thing was just spinning and spinning and spinning as far as the media and panic, and I was talking to my friends and I was on Facebook, and I found myself on a Friday completely overwhelmed and completely in a state of panic. And I said to myself, you know, I don't know about this. I don't know what's going on. And I had never seen anything like this virus that we're talking about in the world today. So the next day, which was a Saturday, I decided to take the phone and to put it into the basement. Did not take any phone calls at all. And I also decided not to go on social media at all. And I went outside. I went for a walk. I raked my grass because I had leaves from the winter. I did some trimming, which I never do. I mean, you'll never see me outside trimming trees. Like, it's nothing like I would ever be doing. But in the presence or in the time of doing it, I was in the present moment. And Sheila, I can't tell you how much I was relaxed. It literally just broke the pattern of fear. So I know what you're talking about. So talk about some of the techniques. I know you wanted to share that.
Yeah, I'll just comment just a little bit about what you shared, because what you were able to do, not only did you put yourself in a different situation, but I'm sure you brought your mind along with you. So you could have been cutting hedges or raking leaves and had your mind totally on the news, but I'm guessing that's not what you did. So that was skillful. So you used those things as anchors. So if we're able to pay attention to what we're doing at the moment, then we're ahead of the game. What happens to many people is their thoughts come along with them. So in a way, they're multitasking. They're doing something. That's how accidents happen, I guess, is that we are not really paying close attention to what's at hand. And so being able to do that for many of us requires somewhat of an effort and a practice, because our habit for so long has been to be in our heads about everything, right? So the practices
Absolutely.
Are – go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, exactly. I mean, I've been criticized for being in my head a lot, and I do that. I analyze stuff. So, yeah, and it's better just to be present in your body, I think. Is that where you're going with this?
Yes, present to whatever you're doing. And again, I want to say it doesn't mean we don't ever think. I think it's good to sit down and do a brain dump sometimes and contemplate things. But we have to know when enough is enough. You know, we need to know how, especially right now, our nervous systems really need a break. And what's going on right now is the ultimate teacher, because it is really like the rest of life has always been, which is out of our control and unpredictable and ever-changing. We just don't always recognize it as much as we do today. The news is changing. The guidelines are changing. But life really is that unpredictable. So,
yeah, it is anyway. And I'd like you to talk about this before you get into the technique. And I don't want this to be political from my point of view, but how much do you think this is about, you know, bringing people into a state of fear for motives that are not right? I mean, I know if it reads, I mean, if it bleeds, it reads. And the news industry, they need to get people to focus, and negativity seems to do it. But it's kind of like a mantra itself, isn't it? The television, the media, all of this stuff coming out of social media. After a while, I think my experience is kind of not unlike other people, we just say enough is enough, right?
Well, I think knowing when enough is enough for ourselves is also a skill. So whether we can really decide who on the television to believe or not is up to us. The point is we just don't really need to be watching it all day long, because that act doesn't change anything that's happening, and it isn't healthy for us at any time to do that. I'm sure that even though we're all home, we could think of something more creative or joyful to do. But what people tell us, whether it's true or not, has always been up for grabs. Nobody ever really knows in personal relationships or in politics what is true, because we all know, we all believe different things. We can watch the same thing and come away with a different truth. So to me, it's just another example of, you know, kind of what's behind the veil, what is true in reality. And that's why we call this insight meditation, the insight. It's really about what's going on underneath all of that. So it's good to let all of it go at sometimes. Sometimes understanding it and making sense of it is just not that helpful for us, right? Especially in a changing climate like this. You can spend a lot of time trying to understand it, but it doesn't always make us feel better, and it's not always healthy. Sometimes it is, but not always.
Yeah, I actually went through this myself. I was finding myself obsessive with it, looking at the news, looking at YouTube, looking at Facebook, researching documents. And finally, I just said to myself, I cannot go this route for the next 30 days. And I just said, right, you know, enough's enough. Change course. That doesn't mean I have my head in the sand. I'm not saying that. It's just that you got to live your life, and you have to be careful what you listen to. So, yeah, I think we're on the same page. Do you want to walk us through some techniques or talk with us to do this?
Yes.
Okay.
So I'll briefly say that being mindful in a day-to-day way is kind of what you were talking about that you did. So it's helpful to bring your awareness to your eating. You know, I often suggest starting with a small piece of chocolate and just taking a few bites and not doing anything else, and just watch yourself enjoying a piece of chocolate with small bites, or doing that with some food. I mean, most of us just chomp it all down, right? So put your sandwich down in between bites and chew 20 times as actually possible, and enjoy your meal. And you can do this with chores around the house. If you bring your awareness to what you're doing over and over again, it's a different experience. And all these things I'm kind of naming are anchors. So chores, how things feel, how they smell, how they taste. When we're walking in a meditative way, we can really bring all of our awareness to the soles of our feet. Just for the few moments, instead of looking around at how beautiful Connecticut can be, just bring your awareness to the sensation of one foot after the other striking the ground. And of course, thoughts will come along, but we have the ability to reconnect with the sensation. So those are practices for all day long. Another thing is just using your non-dominant hand to do something. And so because it becomes more of a challenge, we pay a little bit more attention. And then there we are in the moment with our food or the dishes or our laundry. So when we move more towards seated and quiet practices, we can just sit and watch our breath without any other distraction. The breath makes a sound somewhat. The breath moves the body. And it becomes an anchor. We can breathe. And the other thing about the breath is that regular breathing, so the same amount of inhale as exhale, actually signals the nervous system to relax. And this is, you know, part of my yoga teacher training, is that understanding pranayama or breathing and the impact it has physiologically on our nervous system. So we can incorporate that. And the breath for many people is the anchor that begins them with a seated meditation practice. So you sit down, you can close or lower your eyes and just begin bringing your awareness to how it feels to sit and how it feels to breathe, the inhale, the exhale, the point that they interchange with each other. And again, eyes can be open or closed. For some people, eyes closed and breathing is not safe and not comfortable. Very aware of that when I teach people. So sensation in the body. I can't tell you how many people have told me that just becoming aware of where their hands are positioned in their lap or how it feels to be sitting on a chair or cushion and the backs of their thighs or the back of their body, that when they keep coming back to that, they find themselves being grounded in the moment. So all of these sensations are here in our life all the time. We're just not noticing them. But when we decide on purpose to bring our awareness to them over and over, then they ground us and they give us a rest from that thought stream. And so the last or the other anchor is sound. And so in insight meditation, we don't put on music or use chimes or gongs, although some people use that. We just use the sounds that are naturally occurring in our environment. So our homes make noise, a boiler goes on. If the windows are open, we might hear something. And so we just explore that with curiosity, not trying to find out what the sound really is, and not wishing that it would change, which certainly can be difficult if the sound is like a lawnmower. You know, what is that? Why are they doing it? I wish it would stop. So we just start to notice how often we comment about things and how difficult it is for us to be with what is, which brings us into the current situation. We are learning through these practices to be resilient, to be able to know that we're going to be okay with whatever comes along. It may not be exactly what we envisioned or what we really want, but there's a sense of resiliency that it will be okay, I will be okay, whatever it is. And I'm not sure what okay looks like today because we know it's pretty dire and serious. But that's the reality that's before us. So do you have any questions about techniques that you think people might be wondering?
Well, I first of all, I want to say thank you for what you're saying. You know, we didn't rehearse this. We don't have notes. This is just wonderful how it's unfolding. You mentioned thought dream. Can you elaborate on that? I think I know what you're talking about. But you mentioned thought dream, and it caught my attention. Can you say a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So what I said was thought train, T-R-A-I-N, a thought train.
Oh, okay.
So it might look like I'm sitting here and my knee hurts. And all of a sudden I'm wondering why my knee hurts and the fact that I shouldn't have run as much as I did when I was in high school. And my mother said I shouldn't have run. And now you're thinking about your mother and your relationship with her. And you're so far down the road that what would be more skillful would be noticing what it feels like in your leg. So what does it feel like? It might be tingling. It might be warm. We're looking for words that bring us into the moment without a narration. So it isn't pleasant or unpleasant,
wow,
good or bad. It's just, this is tingling. This is warmth. And what people find is when you take that emotional charge out of it, sometimes, and this is how meditation can deal with pain, is the charge of it comes out. The story of it makes it easier to sit with it. And ultimately, really what we all need to learn as human beings is to be able to sit with whatever comes our way, ultimately. You know, that's the skill here. And that's what kind of we're all being tested with here, this fear and anxiety. One of the main components of insight meditation is compassion. So for ourselves, ultimately, and for others. So it's really important to make room for the emotions that come up. This is really, I'm really glad I thought I need to share this with everybody. We are all feeling whatever we are, and we need to be patient with ourselves and other people who may not be feeling what we are. We may be feeling okay on one particular day and somebody else isn't. These are all really normal, natural. We're all kind of being traumatized. There is fear and worry. It's serious, and it's kind of okay to just let that be there. But the question we start to ask ourselves is, can I be okay? Can I sit with that? So can I sit with it for 2 breaths? And I can sit with it for 10 breaths. That's all we need to ask of ourselves for the moment. Can we just let it be? Can I not get involved in that thought train about what might happen if? Because nobody knows that.
Yeah, this is wonderful, Sheila. And I think if I'm making the connection right, the reason why people reach for the cigarette or reach for the alcohol or reach for the food or reach for anything for that matter, could be the remote, is that they don't want to sit with the feeling. They want to numb the feeling. Do you think there's a connection with addiction with that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so part of, you know, what I do is I speak to groups here at Charlotte Hungerford with their smoking cessation group. Anytime you want to break a habit, you just have to start a new one. You have to get unhooked from what that is. So, yes, there is a certain degree of being able to sit with what is, and it's not easy at all. I always tell people, this is kind of simple. It's not a lot of instruction that I just gave, but it isn't easy because we have these habits, and that's the neural pathways that we're talking about, that neuroscientists are telling us about, this neuroplasticity. Our brains, old brains, can learn new tricks. We can create new pathways for things, but it takes time. And I think one thing we've had an abundance of in our current culture is impatience. You know, everything is very quick. So it's an enjoyable practice, but you have to be kind of engaged enough to, as we say, begin again. Ah, there's a thought. I can come back. And every little bit helps to create a new pathway towards something more healthy and more skillful. But definitely what you said is we're just looking to not be with ourselves. It's uncomfortable. It absolutely is.
Yeah, I hear you. Do I lose you or still have you?
I'm here.
Yeah, the thing that I don't know if we lost connection here. Let me just check. I think you're still there. Yeah, the thing that strikes me is when these emotions happen, you're just like in panic. It's either the fight or flight. But what I've connected in my head is these emotions are very much like the weather. You know, they're like here today and gone the afternoon. If you're in Florida, if you ever go to Florida, it's very possible that, you know, it's raining today, and then you look in the horizon and you see that it's sunny somewhere else. So,
right.
Sheila,
right.
Are you still there, or do we lose you?
I'm here. Can you hear me? I'm here.
Yes. Okay,
yes.
Good.
So what you've hit on in the last 2 minutes is so important is our attachment and our aversion to everything and how that drives our behavior. So the more you rely on the weather being good.
Enough.
Yeah.
I would love to have you come back. Can you give us a little hint about what you just said? Because I'm intrigued, and we'll have to have you back for another half an hour. The behavior and the emotion are connected together.
Yes. Well, the more expectation we have, the more we need things to be the way we like them in order to be happy, the more of a setup it is for our disappointment. Because we can't control the weather.
Sounds like a recipe for disaster.
Right.
Yeah.
You can barely control ourselves, let alone our partners, or the stock market, or our neighbor's dog, right?
Yeah. Well, listen, we got 50 seconds, so I love this, and I really mean this from the bottom of my heart. I thank you so much for this. How do people get a hold of you? We have 40 seconds. So how do people get a hold of you, Sheila?
You can find my email at my website, which is Viewpoint, V-I-E-W-P-O-I-N-T, meditation. It's all one word, viewpointmeditation.com. You'll find me and my email address and phone number there. So it's all about the viewpoint that we have that makes our life either feel good or not so good.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate this. I'd like to have you back in a couple weeks, and I definitely like to have you on Mindful Conversations. I thank you for the time. I'm looking at the time, and believe it or not, I can't believe a half an hour has gone by. So thank you so much. Guys, I know we gave you something to think about, and in some of these cases, it could be life or death, you and your friends. So share this link with people and let them know that it's going to be okay. Sheila, thank you so much. We'll catch you next time, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, thanks. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Diamond Mind Transformation Radio Show, brought to you by Greg Dwyer on buildingfortunesradio.com. Thanks for listening. Go to www.gregdwyer.com to learn more. And always listen in to the Building Fortunes Radio Show for Greg Dwyer as he shares information about his Diamond Mind Transformation Training. So listen in, get involved, and help spread the word. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com/Greg Dwyer website to hear more of Greg Dwyer Radio Shows. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. Greg and I want to say thanks for listening and ask you to spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.